ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له، ومن يضلله فلا هادي له. ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، ونشهد أن سيدنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله تبارك وتعالى عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه أجمعين ومن تبعهم بإحسان إلى يوم الدين، أما بعد، فقال سبحانه وتعالى: إن الله وملائكته يصلون على النبي، يا أيها الذين آمنوا صلوا عليه وسلموا تسليما. اللهم صل على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما صليت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. اللهم بارك على محمد وعلى آل محمد كما باركت على إبراهيم وعلى آل إبراهيم إنك حميد مجيد. فقال سبحانه وتعالى: سبحان الذي أسرى بعبده ليلا من المسجد الحرام إلى المسجد الأقصى الذي باركنا حوله لنريه من آياتنا إنه هو السميع البصير. وعن عبد الله بن عمر رضي الله تعالى عنهما أنه قال: بيت المقدس بنته الأنبياء وعمرته، وما فيه موضع شبر إلا وقد سجد عليه النبي. وعن كعب رحمه الله أنه قال: إن ببيت المقدس ألف قبر من قبور الأنبياء. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: من زار بيت المقدس محتسبا أعطاه الله أجر ألف شهيد. وفي رواية: حرم الله لحمه وجسده على النار. وعن الحسن البصري رحمه الله أنه قال: من تصدق في بيت المقدس بدرهم كان له براءة من النار. فقال سبحانه وتعالى: لعن الذين كفروا من بني إسرائيل على لسان داود وعيسى بن مريم ذلك بما عصوا وكانوا يعتدون. وقال سبحانه وتعالى: لتجدن أشد الناس عداوة للذين آمنوا اليهود والذين أشركوا ولتجدن أشربهم مودة للذين آمنوا الذين قالوا إنا نصارى ذلك بأن منهم قسيسين ورهبانا وأنهم لا يستكبرون. وقال سبحانه وتعالى: وليبعثن عليهم إلى يوم القيامة من يصومهم سوء العذاب إن ربك لسريع العقاب وإنه لغفور رحيم. وقال سبحانه وتعالى: ومن يقتل مؤمنا متعمدا فجزاؤه جهنم خالدا فيها وغضب الله عليه ولعنه وأعد له عذابا عظيما. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: لو أن أهل السماء والأرض اشتركوا في دم مؤمن أسبهم الله في النار. وقال سبحانه وتعالى: إنما المؤمنون إخوة فأصلحوا بين أخويكم واتقوا الله لعلكم ترحمون. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: المؤمنون كرجل واحد، إن اشتكى عينه اشتكى كله، وإن اشتكى رأسه اشتكى كله. وقال النبي صلى الله عليه وسلم: من كان في حاجة أخيه كان الله في حاجته، ومن فرج عن مؤمن كربة فرج الله عنه كربة من كربات يوم القيامة، أو كما قال عليه الصلاة والسلام. respect المشايخ، ما respect العلماء، ما respect elders. My brothers, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. Listen to what the article says. The article reads: the death of the young boy Adurra in front of the world's cameras has brought home to everyone the dreadful and arrogant nature of the Israeli regime.
And it's racist disregard for the worth of all non-Israeli lives, young or old. What we have witnessed is no less than a state-sanctioned terrorism against a civilian population. The article reads, I had just been shot by the Israelis in my right leg. My son Muhammad, age 12, hid behind me and gripped my arm. He didn't stop crying. He was terrified. He pleaded with me, for the love of God, protect me, Baba. I told him that when the shooting let up, we'd get away. I tried to calm him. But all the time he kept saying, Baba, I'm afraid. I want to go home. 5 minutes later, I was hit in the leg again. A third bullet hit me in the stomach. I made every effort to protect Muhammad. I called on the soldiers to stop shooting, and I raised my hand. Then Muhammad was shot in the chest. He said to me, Baba, don't worry. I'll be all right until the ambulance comes. But after 3 minutes, he stopped talking and died. The soldiers continued to shoot. Another bullet hit me in the leg. Only after 3/4 of an hour did they stop shooting. And an ambulance took us to the hospital. But Muhammad wasn't alive anymore. I'm sure you've all read this article before. Another article, it reads, letter written with blood reveals that Muslim women are being kept without clothes in prison. If Muslims exist on the face of this earth, then it is binding on them to save the Muslim women whom the Russian forces have kept in prison without their clothes. These words are from a letter written to the Muslim world by a Chechen youth being held in prison by the Russians. This letter has been written in blood, as its writer didn't have anything else to write it with. The brave and bold youth who put his life at risk in writing this letter wrote these above mentioned words twice. At the end of these lines, he wrote that he has run out of his ink and has no more blood to write. This Chechen youth must have thought, just maybe his blood will have the power to awaken the insensitive and callous Muslims of the world to the plight of Chechen Muslims, you and I. A Muslim writer writes in his work Salah al-Ummah fi Ulu al-Himmah, he writes, with regards to what happened in Bosnia, fathers were slaughtered in front of their sons. Young girls and women incapable of defending themselves were forced to take intoxicants, and they were injected with the blood of khinzir before they are raped. A Muslim woman dies. A Serbian soldier has intercourse sainka. She's still warm, I can still do it. Thousands are slaughtered like goats. They are slaughtered with electric saws, and the masajid and roads are decorated with their heads. Final article. This is what the newspaper reporters saw. Lauren Jenkins wrote, the scene at the Shatila camp when foreign observers entered on Saturday morning was like a nightmare. Women wailed over their deaths of loved ones, bodies began to swell under the hot sun, and the streets were littered with thousands of spent cartridges. Houses had been dynamited and bulldozed into rubble. Many were the inhabitants inside. Groups of bodies lay before bullet pocket walls where they appeared to have been executed. Others were strewn in alleys and streets, apparently shot as they tried to escape. Photographers Ralph and Maya Shaw write, when we entered, we saw bodies everywhere. We photographed victims that had been mutilated with axes and knives. Continues, others had their heads smashed, their eyes removed, their throats cut. Skin was stripped from their bodies and limbs were severed. You can keep on reading. Pick up the time and you will see the article there. Pick up the Independent and you will see the article there. Pick up the tabloids and you will see the article there. Listen to the BBC or the News at 10 or the World News and you will hear the same story. You can keep on reading. I assure you, your life will come to an end. But articles like this, describing these atrocities against the Muslims, describing the so-called ethnic cleansing of the Muslims, will never come to an end. And it is these articles that are telling me today. The situation of the Muslims worldwide is telling me. The situation of Muslims in Bosnia, the situation of Muslims in Chechnya, the situation of Muslims in Palestine, the situation of Muslims in Kashmir and Pakistan, the situation of Muslims in the Russian state, the situation of Muslims in Hindustan, the situation of our brothers, our mothers, and our sisters in different parts of the globe. Their situation is telling me today that a Muslim today is someone who has no respect. A Muslim today is someone who has no honor, someone who has no dignity, someone who has no value whatsoever. Today, in the 21st century, in the land of the kafir, animals have rights. Monkeys and dogs have rights. Donkeys have rights. Mules and cats have rights. But a Muslim is not eligible for a single right. A Muslim does not have the right to life. He has no right to property. He has no right to freedom. Whether this freedom be of speech, whether this freedom be of movement, a Muslim doesn't have the right to walk on the face of this earth. Why? Because he is the lowest of the low. He is the scum of the earth. You can walk all over a Muslim. You can trump over a Muslim. You can trot all over him. You can oppress him. You can swear at him. You can rebuke and revile him. You can spit on his ugly face and urinate all over it and cover his face with filth. A Muslim is so cheap that you can enslave his mother. You can enslave his sister. You can enslave his daughter. And you can put collars around their necks and take them for walkies like dogs. You can rape them and take starving children out of their pure stomach. These articles are telling me, the situation of the Muslims worldwide is telling me that today a Muslim is somebody whose blood is so cheap that you do not need a reason for killing him. His blood is so filthy that you can kill him without a reason. You will be rewarded for obliterating him. You will be rewarded for removing him from the face of this earth. You can mutilate his body. You can sever his head from his neck. You can sever his hands from his arms. You can sever his feet from his legs. You can rip his ears. You can rip his nose from the front of his face. You can poke his eyes. And you can take out his skull and use it as a soccer ball. And then you can make khima out of his flesh and give it as feed to the dogs. Or Muslims of Warsaw, you are Muslims. And inshallah, you will remain as Muslims. Inshallah, you will die as Muslims. I am a Muslim. Remain and die as a Muslim. I am asking you today because I am puzzled. I am confused. Maybe you can help me. Maybe you can give the answer to my question. I ask, is this what a Muslim is? You answer, Maulvi kaise ulti seedhe baatein kar raha hai? Tera zehn kharab ho chuka hai. Tu pagal ho chuka hai. Baswas kar raha hai. Majnoo ho chuka hai. Makhboot al-azhar ho chuka hai. Or Maulvi, you have become insane. You are talking nonsense. You are talking rubbish. What is this jargon you are coming out with? Or Maulvi, do you know what a Muslim is? This is not a Muslim. A Muslim is somebody with awe. A Muslim is somebody with respect. A Muslim is somebody with honor. Or Maulvi, such is the value of a Muslim in the eyes of Allah, that every kafir that walks on the face of this earth from the beginning of time till the end of time, take all these kafir, these billions and trillions, place them in one part of the balance and place one Muslim in the other part of this balance. Or Maulvi, this Muslim is so dear to Allah that this one believer with the kalima, La ilaha illallah, Muhammadur Rasulullah, he will outweigh all these kuffar. Why? Because he's not the lowest of the low. He is the highest of the high. So sacred is
stains his blood, that the Almighty Allah has announced, وَمَنْ يَقْتُلْ مُؤْمِنًا مُتَعَمِّدًا فَجَزَاؤُهُ جَهَنَّمْ خَالِدًا فِيهَا وَغَضِبَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ وَلَعَنَهُ وَأَدَّ لَهُ عَذَابًا عَظِيمًا. Go and kill him and you will see that your abode is hell forever and ever. The curse of Allah will descend upon you. The anger of Allah will descend upon you. And Allah will punish you like never before. Don't you know that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said, لَوْ أَنَّ أَهْلِ السَّمَاءِ وَالْأَرْضِ اِسْتَرُفُوا فِي دَمِنْ مُؤْمِنٍ أَكَبَّهُمُ اللَّهُ فِي النَّارِ. If all the inhabitants of the heaven, if all the inhabitants of the dunya, if they got together and plotted against one Muslim, Allah, such is the value of a believer in the eyes of Allah. So sacred is his blood that Allah will not even look at them. He will throw them in the fire of hell. And on their forehead will be written, أَنِسٌ مِّن رَحْمَةِ اللَّهِ. This right from the mercy of Allah. This, because the blood of a Muslim is sacred, this is the value of a Muslim in the eyes of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I swear by the Almighty that I do not disagree with you, but I beg you, show me where this Muslim is. I look in Palestine and what do I see? I don't see the Muslim with respect. I don't see a Muslim with honor. I see an oppressed Muslim. I see a crying Muslim. I see a Muslim living 2 minutes from the Aqsa. He has no freedom of movement. The Aqsa belongs to him. The Masjid belongs to the Muslim. But he is deprived from entering the house of Allah and bowing down before the Almighty Allah. I see a Muslim that has been made homeless in his own home. I see children that are roaming the streets and being shot by the Israeli soldiers, and their mothers are looking for a Salahuddin. Their tears are flowing from their mother's eyes. They are looking for a Ghori. They are looking for a Ghaznavi. They are looking for Salahuddin. I look in Kashmir and I see their blood flowing in the river Jhelum. I look in Chechnya and I see our Muslim mothers behind bars, in prison, naked, raped by the Rusi, crying, or sons of the Ummah, agar tum hamari madad ke liye aa sakte, kam az kam tumhare andar itni ghairat nahi, kam az kam wo goli to bhej do, taaki hum unke kafir bachon ko janam na de, or sons of the Ummah, if you cannot help us, then at least send the pill so that we do not give birth to their kafir children. I look in Albania and I look in Bosnia and I become speechless. I look in the so-called Muslim countries of Saudi, of Jordan, of Algeria, of Al Maghrib. You can name them one by one. And I see Muslims behind bars. Why? Because they were adorning themselves with the Sunnah of Rasulullah. They were adorning themselves with the teachings of Rasulullah. They were adorning themselves with the teachings of the Quran. And because they were Muslim, in the real sense of the word Muslim, because of this they are in prison and they are behind bars. What are the Muslims that you talk about with respect and honor? You are talking about the Khairul Qurun. You are talking about the good times. You are talking about the times of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You are talking about the times of Sayyidina Abu Bakr and Umar. You are talking about the times of Sayyidina Ali and Uthman. You are talking about the times of Sayyidina Khalid bin Walid. That is the time when the Muslims had respect. That is the time when the Muslims had honor. That is the time when the blood of a Muslim was sacred. Open the books of Ahadith and you will find it is the battle of Ajnabin. Dirar ibn al-Aswar has been captured by the kafir. He has been imprisoned by the kafir. The whole ummah feels the pain of Dirar ibn al-Aswar. Immediately, the sword of Allah himself, Khalid bin Walid, goes for rescue. He is making his way for the rescue when all of a sudden, a warrior passes by like a flash of lightning. He passes by Khalid bin Walid. This warrior is totally covered from head to toe. The only thing visible is his eyes, his spear and his sword. He rushes past Khalid. He has no time to stop and talk to Khalid. He has one aim, one objective, one direction. Towards the enemy he goes. Khalid bin Walid cannot believe his eyes. The cry, Man hazal faris, wa ima Allahi innahu la faris. Who is this warrior? I swear by the Almighty that this is definitely a warrior. My brothers, the warrior goes towards the enemy. There is no fear, there is no hesitation. He attacks the enemy single-handed. Alone he goes through their lines and he comes out the other side with his sword covered in blood. In one attack, he has sent many kafir to the fire of hell. My brothers, yet again for the second time, he presents himself for martyrdom. He presents himself for death. And yet again, through their lines he goes and comes out on the other side with his sword covered in blood. Yet again, in the second attack, he has sent many people to the fire of hell. My brothers, the Muslims cannot believe their eyes. Who is this warrior? They are amazed at his valor. They are amazed at his bravery. They are amazed at his courage. Khalid bin Walid cries, Man hazal faris? Who is the warrior? The warrior emerges
chased by the enemy, the warrior makes his way to the Muslims. The Muslims surround him. The Muslims cry, "Reveal yourself. Tell us who you are. What is your name?" Silence is his answer. Yet again for the second time, the Muslims say, "Reveal yourself. Tell us who you are. What is your name?" Yet again, the warrior remains silent. It is only when Khalid bin Walid insists that he reveal himself. My brothers, the warrior reveals himself. The answer the world is waiting for. The answer the history recorded. The warrior says, "Ya ayyuha al-amir, inni lam u'rid anka illa haya'an min. لأنك أمير جليل وأنا من ذوات الخدور وبنات السطور أنا خولة بنت الأزور." The warrior answers, "Oh Amir, I did not answer you because of out of shame or because you are a great Amir. I am not from amongst the men. I am from amongst those that keep themselves covered from head to toe. I am a woman. I am خولة بنت الأزور and I have come today to save my brother and I have come for the rescue of my brother." This was a woman and we are men. This is the time when the Muslims had respect. This is the time when the blood of a Muslim was sacred. You are talking about the time of Sayyidina Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala an. Imam Qutubi relates in his tarif, a Muslim has been taken prisoner. He is taken all the way to Constantinople. A Christian police slaps the Muslim. He cries out, "Bainana wa bainaka Allah ya Muawiyah, wulita umurana fadayataha." Oh Muawiyah, Allah will judge between you and I on the day of judgment. You are our Amir. We are in your charge. You are responsible for us. And today you neglect us. Sayyidina Muawiyah radiallahu ta'ala anhu is informed. Immediately he pays for the ransom. The Muslim is released. He asks the name of the Christian priest. Hundreds and thousands are spent. A plan is drawn up to capture this priest. Thousands of pounds are spent. This priest is tricked. He is captured. He is presented before Muawiyah. Muawiyah calls the Muslim, "Oh Muslim, I have not neglected you. Slap him like he slapped you and do not condemn." This is the time when the blood of a Muslim was sacred. You are talking about the time of Mu'tasim Billah. A Muslim woman from Amuria has been imprisoned. She is slapped by a kafir. Yet again, she calls out, "Wa Mu'tasima, O Mu'tasim, where are you?" The kafir is mocking. The kafir is being sarcastic. "La yaji'u al-Mu'tasim illa ala farasin ablak." Mu'tasim, "Oh yes, Mu'tasim will come to you. He'll come on a black and white horse and come to your rescue. He's not going to come in the land of the kafir." Mu'tasim is informed. This was the value of Muslim blood. And so sacred was Muslim blood that hundreds and thousands are spent. 18,000 black and white horses are purchased from every corner of the globe. Mu'tasim himself goes to rescue his sister. The kuffar are defeated. This Muslim sister is rescued. This kafir is brought before her, and the words are flowing from the lips of Mu'tasim Billah, "Sajiduka ala farasin ablaq." Oh my sister, tell this kafir that Mu'tasim has come to your rescue on a black and white horse. This was the time when the Muslims had respect. A final example, you are talking about the times of Nuruddin Zangi. The Muslims of Dimyat have been surrounded by the kuffar. This was the fikr Nuruddin had for the Muslims. That he is in a majlis where the ahadith of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam are being recited. The hadith musalsal bil tabassum has been recited, and you will ask your ulama what this is. He is asked to smile so that the chain of this hadith is complete, so that this silsila is complete. He replies in anger, "You are asking Nuruddin to smile? Inni la astahi min Allah an yarani mubtasima wal muslimuna muhasiruna bil front." I am ashamed that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sees Nuruddin smiling while the Muslims of Dimyat have been surrounded by the kafir. Immediately an army is sent for the rescue. Such was the fikr of Nuruddin that in the books of history it is related that while the Muslims of Dimyat had been surrounded, Nuruddin had been fasting. And he has fasted consecutively for 20 days. And he makes his iftar only on a glass of water. He has become so weak that he was on the point of death. It was his Imam Yahya who sees Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam in a dream. "Oh Yahya, give glad tidings to Nuruddin that the kuffar have left Dimyat." Yahya asked, "Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, rubama la yusaddiquni. What if Nuruddin doesn't believe me? Give me a sign which he will recognize, an alamat which he will recognize." And Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, "Oh Yahya, tell him, the alamat is the night of Harim, when Nuruddin was in prostration, his face was covered with dust, and tears were rolling down his cheeks, and he was begging for Allah's mercy for the Muslims, and he was praying to Allah, Ya Rabbi, ha'ulai abiduk, O Allah, these are your servants and your slaves, wa hum a'da'u, O Allah, they are your enemy, fansur awliya'aka la a'da'i, O Allah, I beg you, help your friends over your enemy, O Allah, do not deprive the Muslims because of Nuruddin. Who is Nuruddin the dog that he may be worthy of your help? O Allah, help your deen and help the Muslims over the non-Muslims." This was the time when the Muslims had respect. This was the time when the Muslims lived with honor. This was the time when the blood of a Muslim was of value. And today, what do our leaders do? Never mind our leaders, what do you and I do? How do you think Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was feeling with what is happening to the Ummah? The very Nabi who couldn't even tolerate a thorn picking a cat, an animal. How do you think Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam must feel with the way his ummatis are being slaughtered like sheep? The very Nabi, opened the hadith of Muslim. The tribe of mother come to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. They are suffering from starvation. Their feet are barefooted. They are naked. Only their satr is covered. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. فَسَمَعَرَ وَجْهُ رَسُولِ اللَّهِ sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. The color of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's face changes. He sallallahu alayhi wa sallam becomes pale. And immediately, he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam couldn't tolerate this. That he gives a special khutbah to the sahaba radiallahu ta'ala anhum ajma'een. Asking them to help their Muslim brothers. The very Nabi. Now when the Muslims of Medina, the hadith in Muslim, when the Muslims of Medina are alarmed by a loud noise outside Medina Sul Munawwara, this was the fitr that he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had, that he sallallahu alayhi wa sallam himself in the darkness of the night goes to see the cause of this noise. And he comes, returns, comforting the Muslims, lam tura'u, that you have nothing to worry about. How do you think Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was feel with what is happening to the Muslims worldwide? What is happening to our mothers? What is happening to our sisters? And what is happening to our brothers? He said, Allahu alayhi wa sallam said, Al-mu'minuna ka rajulin wahidin, in istaka aynuhu istaka kullu, wa in istaka ra'suhu istaka kullu. That the entire Muslim ummah, wherever they may be, are like one single body forming one brotherhood. If any one limb of this body is in pain, then the entire body will feel this pain due to this aching and paining limb. Meaning, that if any one Muslim is in pain, in taklif, is being oppressed, is being suppressed, then all the Muslims, including the Muslims of Warsaw, will feel this pain. Never mind one Muslim. At this moment in time, as I address you and you listen to the reminder, millions of Muslims worldwide are suffering. 1 million Muslim children lost their lives in Iraq. And now children that are being born in Iraq because of the depleted uranium, there are so much deformities that this Muslim child that is being born, you cannot tell whether this child is a human being. And you and I, we don't feel the pain. We just don't feel the pain. Our hearts have become like stone. Nothing will enter. It is so sad that tears will roll down our cheeks when our favorite football team loses the FA Cup, or is knocked out in a vital Premiership game, or is knocked out in the Champions League. And we will pray for our favorite cricket team that Allah make it so that Pakistan wins the World Cup. It so happened that in many massages, they made Elan so that Pakistan wins the cricket cup. But when we are told that a calamity has befallen the Muslims of Chechnya, a calamity has befallen the Muslims of Kashmir, the Muslims of Iraq, the Muslims of Palestine, we feel nothing. We are untouched, not concerned whatsoever, intoxicated with our desires. As long as we've got a mobile phone and somebody calls us and we feel good inside. As long as we've got the shaitan in our houses, the television, this is all we're concerned about. And some of us brothers that are known as, that we become holy, when you start talking about these things, they'll say to you, Muslim, don't talk about this, they're going to arrest you. Don't talk about this. Talk about other things. This is irrelevant. We fear the kafir more than we fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We fear the kafir so much that we will not even pray for our Muslim brothers, fearing that the kafir is listening in to our lectures. Yet, have you forgotten the time when the Muslims didn't even fear death? These were the words of Umar. Allahumma arzuqni shahadatan fi sabilik, waj'al mawti fi baladi rasulik. Oh Allah, give me shahadat, and Allah, make my death in the city of your Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. These were the words of Abdullah ibn Jahsh. Allahumma inni uqsim an alka al-aduwa ghadan fayaqtuluni thumma yabkuru batni وَيَجْدَوْ عَنْفِي وَأُذُنِي ثُمَّ تَسْأُلَنِي بِمَا ذَاكْ فَأَقُولُ فِيكَ يَا اللَّهِ. Wallah, I give you qasam and I beg you that I meet the enemy tomorrow. And I fight with the enemy. The enemy overcomes me. He kills me. He mutilates my body. He cuts my stomach and he takes out my intestine. He rips my ears and my nose. And then I meet you in this condition on the day of judgment, Allah, and you ask me with regards to this, and I answer, oh Allah, this was for you, this was for your cause, and this was for your sake. Sayyidina Nadr radiallahu ta'ala happens to see Sayyidina Umar and Talha in a group of Sahaba bewildered. He says, oh my Sahaba, why is it that I see you so bewildered? Sayyidina Umar replies, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is no more. When the false rumor spread in Uhud. He says, Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is no more. Sayyidina Nadr says, O Umar, then who wants to live after our Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam? Come and let us go into Jannah and join Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. Saying this, he plunges into the line and he goes to the Jannah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Sayyidina Khaythama says to his son when Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was calling the Sahaba for the Battle of Badr, O my son, one of us will have to stay with the family, with the women of our house. Let me go to Badr and you stay with the women of our family. The child replies, وَبَا لَوْ كَانَ غَيْرَ الْجَنَّةِ آثَرْتُكَ بِهِ إِنِّي لَأَرْجُ الشَّهَادَ فِي وَجْهِ هَذَا. وَبَا, if you had asked for anything other than Jannah, then I would have given you preference over it, but I cannot give you preference over Jannah. I also want to be martyred in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Saying this, he goes into the battle and he is no more. There was no such thing as fear of death. Abdullah ibn Umm Maktoum, the mu'azzin of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He was the mu'azzin of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He is blind, he is in the battlefield, and he is saying to the Sahaba radiallahu ta'ala al-majma'een, O my dear companions, give me the flood. Abdullah ibn Umm, and place me in between the two armies. Abdullah ibn Umm Maktoum will not run. Sayyidina, the uncle of Anas ibn Malik, Anas ibn Nadr radiallahu ta'ala anhumah, he had so much regret that he did not participate in the Battle of Uhud, or in the Battle of Badr, that now it is the Battle of Uhud. The Muslims have dispersed. He alone is going towards the enemy. He is met by Sayyidina Sa'd ibn Mu'adh radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Sayyidina Sa'd says, O Anas, where are you going? You will be martyred. You have no chance. You are alone. He replies, Ya Sa'd ibn Mu'adh, وَرَبِّ النَّظَرْ أَلْجَنَّةَ أَجِدُ رِيحَهَا مِنْ دُونِ أُحُدْ. I swear by the Lord of Anas, O Sa'd ibn Mu'adh, I can smell the fragrance of Jannah coming from Uhud. There was no such thing as fear of death. No such thing as fear of death. It is because of this. Sayyidina Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu ta'ala anhu, in the battle of Qadisiyah, when the kuffar were many times more than the Muslims, he sends a message to Rustam, and this is what the message reads. O Rustam, فَإِنَّ مَعِي قَوْمًا يُحِبُّونَ الْمَوْتِ كَمَا يُحِبُّونَ الْعَاجِمُ الْخَمَرِ. O Rustam, there are people with me to whom dying in the path of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is more desirable than wine is to your army. And today you and I are afraid just to pray for our Muslim brother. And now the kafir has his eye on the Haramain. Big wow, the Haramain. Who gives a damn? Who gives a job? He's got his eyes on the house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. We're not concerned. He's got his eyes on the masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And we're not concerned. I can still remember the tears in the guy's eyes that took us around Masjid Ibrahim al-Khalil. And these were his words. He said, Oh my brother, never in history has a masjid become a synagogue. I fear that this Masjid Ibrahim al-Khalil, which half of which they've already taken, may be the first masjid that becomes a synagogue. He said, my brother, there is not a single sin the Israeli doesn't commit inside this house of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Big wow. And the Aqsa, what is the Aqsa? Ask the kid today and he'll name every player in United's lineup. Even the reserve. But he doesn't even know what the Aqsa is. We don't even know that this is the very place which the Almighty Allah has mentioned in the Quran. سُبْحَانَ الَّذِي أَصْرَى بِعَبْدِهِ لَيْلًا مِنَ الْمَسْجِدِ الْحَرَامِ إِلَى الْمَسْجِدِ الْأَقْصَى. The very place which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala blessed. The very place in which Allah accepted the repentance of Sayyidina Sulaiman and Sayyidina Dawood alayhi salam. The very place in which Allah made the mountains and birds subservient to Dawood, they would glorify Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with Sayyidina Dawood alayhi salam. It is the very place in which Allah returned the kingdom of Sulaiman back to Sulaiman. It is the very place in which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala gave the glad tidings of Yahya to Sayyidina Zakariya alayhi salam. The very place in which Sayyidina Isa alayhi salam was born. The very place in which he spoke in the cradle, in the Abdullah, Atani al-Kitaba wa ja'alani nabiya. The very place in which he was raised to the heavens. The very place in which his mother was given the fruit of winter in summer and the fruit of summer in winter. The very place which, according to Abdullah ibn Umar, was built by the Anbiya. مَا فِيهِ مَوْضِعُ شِبْرٍ إِلَّا وَقَصَجِدَ عَلَيْهِ نَبِيٌّ. He says there is not a single span of earth over which the Anbiya alayhi salatu wasalam have not prostrated upon. The very place in which Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasalam prayed to, it was the first Qibla of Muslims for 16 months. It was the very place to which Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wasalam was taken to in the night of Miraj. The very place in which he led all the Anbiya in prayer. And it is the very place that the Muslims will migrate to before the end of time. The very place that Sahab says, إِنَّ بَبَيْتِ الْمَقْدِسِ أَلْفَ قَبْرٍ مِنْ كُبُورِ الْأَنْبِيَاءِ. That in the holy site, there are over 1,000 graves of the Anbiya. The very place, لَا يَدْخُلَهَا الدَّجَّالِ. That the Dajjal, the one-eyed lion, will not be able to enter. The land is so blessed that Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, مَنْ زَارَ بَيْتَ الْمَقْدِسِ مُعْتَصِبًا أَعْطَاهُ اللَّهُ أَجْرَ أَلْفِ شَهِيدٍ. Go visit the Baytul Maqdis with the intention of sabah, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you the reward of 1,000 martyrs. حَرَّمَ اللَّهُ لَحْمَهُ وَجَسَدُهُ عَلَى النَّارِ. And Allah will make your flesh and your body haram on the fire of hell. Pray inside it with the intention of sawab, رَجَعَ شَيَوْمٍ وَلَدَتُ أُمُّهُ. And you will return like the day your mothers give you birth, free from sin. And according to Hassan al-Basri, give one dirham sadaqah in the Baytul Maqdis and you will receive the certificate, Bara'atun min al-Nar. This person will never enter the fire of hell. This is the Aqsa. And yet you and I, it makes no difference what the Israelis do to the Aqsa. What they do to the Haramain Sharifain. What they do to the Masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. As long as we are fulfilling our desires like animals without any restrictions, we're not bothered what happens on the face of this earth. Remember, if today our Muslim brothers in other parts of the world, as calamities have befallen them, then you and I are next. Yesterday, maybe in countries like Bosnia, they didn't believe it could happen to them. Maybe the Muslims in Chechnya didn't believe it could happen to them. Maybe the Muslims in Kashmir thought that it could not happen to them. And at this moment in your time, our mentality is exactly the same. Maybe you and I are thinking that it cannot happen to us. This is what the kafir does. He takes away your deen first, and then he slaughters you like an animal. Because he knows, once the deen has gone, no help comes from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The help of Allah only comes when the Muslims are steadfast. And this is what the kafir is doing to you at this moment in time. And you and I don't even realize that he's doing this to us. We think he's favoring us. He's doing a good thing. He's not doing a good thing. He's just taking us where he wants us. And then you will see the true colors of the kafir. And you are seeing at this moment in time with all the new laws that are being implemented overnight. Laws which were not even considered 10, 15 years ago, and today these laws are being implemented overnight. What? The kafir feels you're the threat. We are not threat to anybody. But the kafir has studied as well. He knows when you're a Muslim, the true meaning of the word Muslim. When you are one that adorns his life with the teachings of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. If there is just 2-3 of you, and there are million kafir, they cannot overcome you. This is what the kafir fears. And today, look at our himmat. No himmat whatsoever. We find it a burden just to raise our hands and pray for our Muslim brothers. In which masajid do you see kunut nazila? Muslims don't even know what kunut nazila is. Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they performed this many a time whenever the Muslim calamities befell the Muslims. Count the masajid in England and you will find hundreds and thousands. In which one will you find that the Qunut Nazila is being recited for the Muslims? Or special prayers are being made for the Muslims? You won't find them all at all. And the himmat of Muslims at one time, take Amr ibn al-Jamu' radiallahu ta'ala anhu as an example. He has a lame foot. It is the battle of Uhud. And he desires to join the battle, though he can't even walk properly. The people say to him, Amr ibn al-Jamu', you don't need to go to the battle. You are lame, you have an excuse, you are ma'zoor. Make the intention, stay home, Allah will reward you. And he says to the people, how sad it would be that my sons enter Jannah and I remain behind. Look at his wife. His wife, she also wanted him to go, help the Muslims. And to exhort him, she would say to that, oh Amr ibn al-Jamu', I don't think the people are saying anything to you. I think you yourself do not want to go and fight. And I think you yourself are making these petty excuses. I think you are afraid to go inside the battlefield. He takes his armor, he faces the Qibla, and he prays to Allah, Allahumma la turuddani ila ahli. O Allah, as from today, I beg you, make it so that I never see my wife and children ever again. He goes to Nabi Kareem sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. He says, Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I cannot resist any longer. Ya Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, I beg you, give me permission to like this family, make our family exactly like this. The story has been related by Ahmad ibn al-Jawzi al-Dimashqi in his work. He relates, كان بمدينة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم رجل يقال له أبا قدامة الشامي. But in the city of Rasulullah صلى الله عليه وسلم, there was a man called Abu قدامة الشامي. وقد حبب الله إليه الجهاد والغزو إلى بلاد الروم. Abu قدامة الشامي loved jihad, elevating the kalima لا إله إلا الله محمد رسول الله, helping the Muslims, fighting against the disbelievers, first calling them towards Islam. He says, one day whilst Abu Qudama was sitting in the masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, talking with his friends, his companions. His companions requested, Ya Abu Qudama, hadithna bi'ajim ma ra'aytuhu fil jihad. Abu Qudama, tell us with regards to the most extraordinary thing that you saw with regards to jihad. He agreed, he related, that once I entered the town of Rakka to purchase a camel which would carry my belongings, my things, my armor. He says, I was in Rakka and I was sitting down one day when all of a sudden a very handsome, a very beautiful
كان بمدينة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم رجل يقال أبا قدامة الشام. During the city of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, there was a man called Abu Qudama al-Shami. وَقَدْ حَبَّبَ اللَّهُ عَلَيْهِ الْجِهَادِ وَالْغَرْضُ إِلَى بِلَادِ الرُّمْ. Abu Qudama al-Shami loved jihad, elevating the kalima la ilaha illallah, Muhammad Rasulullah, helping the Muslims, fighting against the disbelievers, first calling them towards Islam. He says, one day was Abu Qudama was sitting in the masjid of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, talking with his friends, his companions. Companions requested, Ya Abu Qudama, hadithna bi'ajim ma ra'aytuhu fil jihad. Abu Qudama tell us with regards to the most extraordinary thing that we do with regards to jihad. He agreed, he related, that once I entered the town of Rakka, the first is the camel which would carry my belongings, my things, my armor. He said, I was in Rakka and I was sitting down one day when all of a sudden a very handsome, a very beautiful woman came up to me and said, Ya Aba Qudama, sami'tuk wa anta tuhadithu an al-jihad wa tahuthu alayhi. Abu Qudama, I was listening to you while you were talking about jihad, whilst you were making a mention of its virtues, whilst you're exhorting people to raise the kalima la ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah in the land of the kuffar. Abu Qudama, I am a widow. My husband has been martyred. And all the men of my family have been martyred. If any one of them were alive when I have told you, I would have also gone with them and made this jihad and elevated the kalima la ilaha illallah Muhammad Rasulullah.
I have nothing besides this beautiful long hair, the light of which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to the woman. This is the only thing that I possess that is of value. I took this pair of mine and I put them. I plotted them together to make a legam of a hope, a ring of a hope. And I love you, and I would be very grateful that if you cut this hair of mine and use it as your legam, use it as your ring, so when you make jihad, you should be the last, the ghubar, the dirt, such is my path. And if you were aware, you were aware of the hadith of Rasulullah, that whatever part of the dirt touches the dirt of jihad, that part, not again. This is the only thing she forgets. And she said, make sure that the dirt of jihad touches his head. She said, Abu Qudamah, when my husband was martyred, he left behind a very handsome new boy, the likes of which I have not seen. وَكَتَعْلَمَ الْقُرْآنِ وَالْفُرُوسِيَّ وَالْرَمْيَ عَنِ الْقَوْمِ وَهُوَ قَوَّانٌ بِاللَّيْلِ وَقَوَّانٌ بِالنَّهَارِ. His child of mine, absolutely dear. He has memorized the Qur'an, he has the Qur'an inside his head. He's a good archer, and he's a very good horseman. And during the night, he stands in prostration. He stands in front of the Almighty Allah and worships. And during the day, he doesn't eat, he doesn't drink, he is fasting. And how old is his child of mine? He's only 16 years of age. Her only child, bear it in mind, her only child. All the men of her family have been martyred. This is Abu Qudamah. If my child returns before you leave for your journey, then I want to send this child of mine with you as a gift to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And then she says, and أَسْأَلُكَ بِحُرْمَةِ الْإِسْلَامِ لَا تُحْرِمْنِي مَا خَلَتُ مِنَ الْسَوَابِ. And I ask you for the sake of Islam, for the sake of Allah, do not deprive me of the sawab that I seek. Meaning that don't turn my son down. I want him to get martyred and I want that reward. Abu Qudamah says, I took this hair, which had plucked together, and I put it in my chain. So that she's reassured that I will definitely use this as a ring for my hope. He says, we left Raqqa with my companions. When we reached the port of Maslama ibn Abdul Malik, all of a sudden a caller called out from behind, Ya Abu Qudamah, sifa alayya khalilan ya hamukallah. Abu Qudamah whispered to why Allah had mercy on me. Abu Qudamah said that I said to my companions that you proceed. I'll wait, I'll see who this person is. Because he was at a distance, he couldn't recognize. He came. He made his way to Abu Qudamah. He embraced him and prayed, Alhamdulillah, الذي لم يحرمني صحبته. All praise to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who has deprived me of your companionship. Abu Qudamah says that he was totally covered. From head to toe, the only thing visible was his arm. So I said to the child, Habibi, upstairly and worship, O my beloved, reveal yourself. He revealed himself. And this person turned out to be a child. He says, كَأَنَّهُ الْقَمَرْ لَيْلَةً ضَرْءٌ وَعَلَيْهِ آثَارُ النِّعْمَةِ. His face was so beautiful that it was like the moon on the 14th night, and the blessings of Allah were clearly visible on his face. So when I saw this ma'soom so pure, so innocent, so handsome, a child, I asked him, Habibi, Nakawani, is your father alive? He said, my father is not alive. I have come today to take the revenge of my father. Why? فَلِأَنَّهُ قُرْتُشْهِ لَعَلَّ اللَّهَ أَنْ يَرْزُقْنِ سَعَادَةَ مَا رَزَقَ عَدُوٍّ. My father has become a martyr, and it is possible that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala also honors me with martyrdom like he honored my father. I said to him, have you been at the walida? Oh, my beloved, is your mother alive? Surely you must have a mother. He replied, yes, my mother is alive. I said, go and ask the minister. If your mother gives permission, then you can come with. And if your mother doesn't give permission, then you will stay with her. فَإِنَّ طَاعَتَكْ لَهَا أَغْضَرْ مِنَ الْجِهَادِ Because obedience to your mother is far superior to jihad. لَأَنَّ الْجَنَّةَ تَحْتَ ظِلَالِ الطُّيُوفِ وَتَحْتَ أَقْدَامِ الْأُمَّهَاتِ Just like Jannah is under the shade of the soul, his life under the feet of your mother as well. تَعَلْتَ أَنَّا مَنْ تَسْتِمِي يَا بَا قُدَامَ أَمَا تَعْرِفُونَ أَبُو قُدَامَ You don't recognize me? أَنَا إِبْنُ صَاحِبُ الْوَزِيعَ مَأَفْرَعْ مَا نَسِيْتَ وَصِيَّةَ أُمِّي صَاحِبَةُ الْحِكَامِ وَلَئِنْ شَاءَ اللَّهُ اسْتَهْدِي ابْنَ الْكَبِيرِ أَبُو قُدَامَ they recognize me, I'm the one. I am her son. How could you forgotten the wasiyah, the instructions of my mother? InshaAllah, I am a master, the son of a master. And I ask you for the sake of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Abu Qudama, you not defraud me of making jihad with you. What? Then you have to be kitabullah. عارف بسنة رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم عارف بالرمي أبو قدامة I have memorized the Quran. The Quran is inside my heart. I also know the Sunnah of رسول الله the Hadith of رسول الله صلى الله عليه وسلم well. I am a good actor and I am a good horseman. There is nobody in the whole of Rasa that can ride a horse better than me. أبو قدامة فلا تحكرني لصغر السنة. No, no, down at me because of my tenderness, I'm only 16 years of age. Why? Because my mother has taken an oath. My mother has given me custom that I never return to her house. My mother said to me, Ya Bunayya, إِذَا لَقِيْتَ الْكُفَّارِ وَلَا تُوَرِّي الْمُدْبَرِ Oh my son, when you meet the kafir, make sure you do not become a coward and run. خَدْ نَفْسَكَ لِلَّهِ Give yourself to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Give your life to Allah. What is مجاورة الله ومجاورة عبيد مع أقوالك الصالحين في الجنة. Seek the closeness of Allah. Seek the closeness of your father. Seek the closeness of your uncle. For all the masters are in the Jannah of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. فإذا رزقك الله الشهادة and if Allah honors you with martyrdom, فاصرع فيها. Oh my son, I beg you to intercede for me. Because I have been informed that Shaheed can intercede for 20 members of my family and 20 members of his neighbors. He says, my mother then held me. She embraced me and she looked towards the heaven and she prayed to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, Ya ilahi, hada wadani wa hada raihanatu qalbi sallamtu wa ilik faqarribu min habib. Wallah, this is my brother, this is my son. Wallah, I leave him with you and I beg you, make him close to his father. Put him to Jannah. Abu Qudama said, when I heard the words of this child, لما سمعت كلام الغلام بقيت بكاء كبيرا اثرا على اذنه وجمال كباره ورحمه يقل والدته وتعذبا عن صبرها عنه. Tears began to flow from my eyes, this masoom. So pure, so handsome, 16 years of age, and these are the sorrows that flow from his lips. You see, I was amazed at his child. And even more amazed at his mother's patience. How patient this woman was, her only child. She's so handsome. We send in our family the child that is no good. We send him to mother as well. Let's make him an alim. But those that are clever, we will become the doctors and the pharmacists. She's saying, her only child, again, an absolute genius, and he is given him to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So his tears began to flow from my eyes. When the child told me, crying, he said, Ya am mimma bukau. Uncle, tell me why you cry. In tatsi li asfighir sinni, fa inna Allah yu'adzim man wa asfighir minni ila asa. Oh my son, if you are crying, oh my uncle, if you are crying because of my tender age, and remember, Allah punishes those who are even smaller than you when they disobey you, oh my son, Allah. Abu Qudama said, I replied, oh my son, I'm not crying because of your tender age. I'm crying because of your mother. Kaifa takunu ba'da? How will your mother be able to treat you with love after you? How will she remain? Abu Qudama said, we suffered. We between the day. We would suffer during the day and we would rest during the night. He said, I kept a good work in this town. He amazed me. Everything he did amazed me. لا يقتل عن ذكر الله. This child would never get tired. He would always make the dhikr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and he would remember Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is when he wrote, this child was the best horseman from amongst us. And it is when we rested, this child would become our father, he would begin to serve us. It is every time we resumed our journey, he was full of life. He had more spirit than any one of us. And it is every time, وَتَرْفَ أَلَامَةُ الْفَعَلِيْهِ And the signs of happiness, every time we resume the journey, you could see the signs of happiness that this child is waiting to be martyred. He says, we continue to reach the land of the Kuffar. It was the time of sunset. We rested, and this child began to prepare for what is starting. Something to open our factory as all of them had been fast. So the child was also tired, and while he was cooking, the child fell asleep. He fell asleep, and in his dream I see this child laughing and smiling. And I say to my companions, أَلَا تَرَوْنَ إِلَىٰ بَشْرِ حَاظَ الْغُلَىٰ My companions, you know, see this child smile, this mouthroom smile in his dream. When the child was sick, I asked the child, O my dear, O my beloved, what makes you smile? He said, Dada, I saw a very extraordinary dream, a very beautiful dream, which made me smile. I saw in the dream that I was in a very beautiful green garden. And whilst I was taking a walk inside this garden, I saw a palace made out of silver bricks. And the balconies of this palace were made out of pearls. Inside the palace were girls who were in. And when they saw me, they welcomed me, marhaba, marhaba. When I saw their beauty, I extended my hands towards one of them. Their faces were like the moon. I extended my hands and she said, La ta'jal, ma'anina. Do not be hasty, your time will not come. Then one said to the other, Hadha zawjul mardiya, that this is the husband of mardiya. They told me to proceed. I proceed. I went forward. And in the upper part of the palace, there was a room made out of red gold. And in this room was a bed made out of precious green stone. And on this bed, there was a hurriin, the face of which was like the moon. He says, if Allah hadn't taken care of my eyes, I would have become insane and blind due to her beauty. She also welcomed me, marhaba. From seeing her beauty, I extended my hand. And yet again, like the others, he said to me, your time has not come. Your time is tomorrow at the time of Zohar. I give you glad tidings for tomorrow. Abu Qadama said, when you related this dream to me, I said to the child, وَإِذَا خَيْرٌ وَخَيْرٌ يَكُونَ O my son, you have seen good, and good will become of his dream. It is still a bishna, مُتَعَجِّدِينَ مِنْ مُنَانِ الْغَلَىٰ So we look amazed at his child, everything he does, everything he sees, at his dream. Next morning when we woke up, and we mounted our horses, all of a sudden a caller called up, O army of Allah, أَدْخُلُوا بِالْجَنَّةِ God tidings of Jannah, quickly mount, the enemy has come. It says within a matter of seconds, the enemy advanced like locusts everywhere. And he says the first to attack the enemy from amongst him was his son. He was sent into their lines, sent into their lines, sending many to the fire of hell. When I saw this child, I faced him with my oath, and I grabbed the reins of his oath, and I said to him, Anta sabiyy birgit, Anta la'tari b'khadr al-hari. Oh my son, you're a child, you don't know this kind of thing. This is war, war is deceptive, go back home. And the child came around and said to me, Ya Am, oh my uncle, have you not heard what Allah says? Allah says, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu idha laqitum alladhina kafaru zahfan wa la tuwayyuhu al-adbar. Allah says, oh believers, when you meet the kafir, do not turn and run back, meet the enemy. Uncle, do you want me to enter the fire of hell? Abu Qadama said, whilst I was speaking with his child, all of a sudden, the enemy attacked. They came between me and his child. We were all occupied with ourselves, saving ourselves and fighting the battle. In the evening, when the armies returned, I looked amongst the dead. Many Muslims had been martyred. Their blood was flowing on the earth. Their faces were covered with dust and blood. I looked amongst the martyrs and I saw this child lying where the horses were. He was coughing and turning. He was lying in a pool of blood. And he was calling out, Ya Ma'shar al-Muslimin, Ida Atu li Amni Aba Qudama. O Muslims, I beg you, send my uncle Abu Qudama to me. Abu Qudama says, when I heard his scream, I went to him and I couldn't recognize him because of the blood on his face that had been trampled by the horses. And there were dust all over his face. When I heard his scream, I went to him and I said, Your uncle Abu Qudama has come. And the child said to me, O uncle, my dream has come true. Uncle, my dream has come true. It is when he said these words, I couldn't tolerate. I threw myself onto him. And I began to kick him between the eyes and wipe the dust and blood from his face. And I said to him, O my son, do not forget your uncle on the day of judgment. Make sure you intercede for him. And he turned around and said, O uncle, you are not from amongst those that can be forgotten easily. You are wiping my face with your clothes, yet my clothes are more worthy of this. Uncle, leave my clothes as they are, so I can meet Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala with his blood. Oh uncle, the holy image I described to you yesterday, here at this moment in time, is standing next to me saying, quickly, quickly, I cannot wait any longer. Billahi ya am in Rabbaka Allahu Salima, and I ask you for the sake of Allah wa ta'ala, if you return safe and sound, I want you to do one thing. Take this clothes of mine covered with blood and I want you to give them to my mother. So my mother knows that I fulfilled her refusal and I was not a coward when we met the Muslim and the Kafir. Give her my salam and tell my mother that Allah has accepted the gift that you have sent to him. And I ask you for the sake of Allah, which I have one little sister. Every time I come home, she's the first to meet me. And every time I leave, she is the last to say farewell. And this time, this girl, my sister, when she said farewell, she said to me, Oh brother, make sure you do not take long this time and return home quickly. Tell the sister of mine, Allah will come into the Alayhi wa Sallam, give her my salam, and tell her that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will take care of her from the day of the He said, He smiled and he read the kalima and said, Well, la ilaha illallah. وَكَدُوا أَنَّ مُحَمَّدَ رَسُولَ اللَّهِ And this child was no more. Say the Ghazwa finished, the battle finished. I had only one fear, one concern. And that was to go to please the child, the mother of this child. Say, I returned to Raqqa. And when I got to his house, was a very beautiful little girl which resembled this child. She was standing next to the door. And every time from the past this little girl, she would ask, Ya Am, min ayn jit? Oh my uncle, where do you come from? And he would reply, I have just come back from jihad, the battle. And then he would ask this uncle of hers, Am I Rabi'atim? Has my brother not come with you? And they would reply to him, We do not know who your brother is. He says, When I heard this girl and her masum words, I went to her and she asked me exactly the same question. She said, Uncle, where do you come from? I replied, I have come from jihad. He says, Has my brother not come with you? He said she cried, and then he began to say to her, Uncle, why is it that I see people returning, and my brother has come? He said, I put a stone on my heart, and my heart began to cry, but I didn't show it, so that this girl is not affected. I said to the girl, Go call the woman inside the house, tell her Abu Qudama has come back. The woman, when she heard Abu Qudama came outside, the colour of her face had changed. I greeted her with salam and she replied. And the first question that she asked me, Ya Aba Qudama, Abu Bakr am Anta? So Abu Qudama told me, Have you come here to give me good news? Or have you come here to control me? I asked her, My sister, what is the difference between good news and what is the difference between bad news? She said to me, Oh my brother, If you have come to tell me that my son has returned in one piece, then you have come to give me bad news, you have come to console me. And if you have come to tell me that my son has been martyred, then you have come to give me good news. Abu Gulama says, oh my sister, if that is the case, then good news, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has accepted your son. He has accepted the gift that you sent. He says, I asked the woman, where is his sister? The little girl of 10 that he was talking about. The woman replied to that very girl that you were talking about, trying to go back, that is his sister. See, I went to the little girl, and I said to her, see, your brother sent salam, and he said, Allah will take care of you till the day of Christmas. He said, she faints, she screams, and she faints. I took her after a few seconds, only to find out that she has also joined her brother from the Abu Qadama says, I gave her the clothes covered in blood. And she said, Alhamdulillah, الذي جعله ذخيرة إلى يوم القيامة. All praise to Allah who has made my children a source for entering Jannah for me on the day of Christmas. She's never have I seen a family like this, and never have I seen a mother make so much trouble. The purpose behind the story was just to tell you about the himmat and the spirit of a Muslim family, of a child, of a mother, of a daughter. And look at you and I today. Where's our himmat? Where's our love for Islam? Where is our love for our brothers and sisters? We remain living a life in neglect. I conclude by saying that today our Muslim brothers are suffering elsewhere, they remember. Tomorrow you and I will be suffering. And if we do not help them, then nobody will come to our help. Is it too much to ask? Nobody's asking for anything. They're only asking for prayer. Is it too much to ask that we pray for our Muslim brothers that are being oppressed and suppressed in different corners of the globe? Is it asking so much that we include them in our family? That's all I'm saying today, was to make you aware of the conditions of the Muslims worldwide. So that we stop living a life of neglect. And we turn to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and adorn our life with the teachings of Allah, with the teachings of Sunnah Rasulullah, and with the teachings of the Quran. Because once we adorn our life with these things, even if we are only 10, 15, 20, 50 in number, the darkness can never overcome us. And the Muslims of Technia have proven this. Allah give me the tawfiq to ask them what I said. Allah give you the tawfiq to ask them what I said.
Thank you.
Thank you.